Jurassic. Michael Raines has been a member of the USDA Forest Service for 48 years, and he is considered, everybody says this that I meet there, he is an iconic leader. He's an icon, not just in the Forest Service, but also at USDA. When we've done briefings at the USDA level, even the Forest Service is a sub-agency, they all know him and rely on all of his strengths, so they consider him just a real big asset of their leadership team as well. Michael's current title, he's held many throughout his time at the Forest Service. Michael's current title is that he's the director of the Northern Research Station, which encompasses about half of the country. And he's also the director of the Forest Products Lab that's in charge of innovation on forestry and wood products across the country. So that's a national lab. So I know that we are all really interested, Michael, in your thoughts about how EPA, especially our regional coordinators, how they can really partner well with Forest Service going forward in terms of the urban waters work that they're all undertaking. Is there
anything
else
you
need to
add,
Terry? Thank you
very much, Sturby. As usual, you're overly generous with your remarks on me, but I'll take it. Thank you. Is it okay if I begin to talk now, or are you ready for this?
Terry, anything else to say, or can we roll?
We're ready. Go ahead, Michael.
Okay. I thought what I would do is just, I have up to a half an hour, a little less now, but maybe I could just talk for a few minutes and then offer some time for just some questions, because I can probably, as opposed to just lecturing you, I always have this formula of 15, and you might, if you don't listen to anything I say, you might want to remember this. It's 10 plus the average age of a kindergartner, which is 5, equals 15, and you put the word minutes in back of that, and that's the longest you can talk to anybody without having some, what we call in teaching is some anticipatory set or some question or breaks the flow. So if you find yourself talking to people much more than 15 minutes, that's too long. So I'll try not to break that. So if you don't remember anything I do, just remember the range formula 15 on giving talks. That actually works pretty well. I'm the USDA representative for the Urban Waters Federal Partnership. And to be honest with you, I'm a station director. So in the Forest Service, that means I'm in the field. I'd like to be able to say that the department asked me first to be the lead of that. They asked actually a political appointee to be the lead of that. And there was stuff on her plate, frankly, as we all know. And so I got asked, would I represent that person for USDA, which I was really honored to do. And I have to tell you right away, the Urban Waters Federal Partnership has been a highlight of my career. I will say that unequivocally. I call it a conservation legacy event. The promise that it holds is absolutely amazing. The federal family, what I call banding together, sharing resources, and avoiding duplication. If we could do that, it would be really an amazing way of how government really should work for effective public service. And I think the Urban Waters Federal Partnership has done a lot of good things along that way. So I'm a huge, huge fan of that and constantly try to talk about it to leaders. So one is, I want you to know that you are in the midst of what I think is a really signature type of event, and it calls for your best. And if you really are passionate about public service, which I know you are, or you wouldn't be on the call, utilize the Urban Waters Federal Partnership as a mainstay to that. One of the ways that I think you can advance the urban waters, and I'm going to talk about urban waters completely, not just the linkage with the Forest Service or other agencies, is begin to work more with people who decide as opposed to people who play. Now, every time I say that, I offend a whole bunch of people, and I don't mean to be, but you know, our day is filled with work. and we only have so much time. And so you can spend your time talking to people who can't make a difference, and that's important. But if you only have so much time, talk to people who make decisions. Like, for example, members of Congress, they decide for us. Your key agency leaders, your significant political appointees in your departments, they decide. So make sure you have linkages with them, either directly or indirectly, and don't underestimate the power of those linkages to make things work a lot better and a lot more effectively. And I know there's a tendency to think, I really can't do that. I can't reach out. I really don't have the confidence to do that. I'm really at an organizational level where I shouldn't do that. I would really encourage you to say hooey about that sort of notion, because at the end of the day, we're all about good public service, and that means people from the top all the way to the bottom. And so work with people who decide, because it's much more effective and a lot more efficient with your time. When I saw the notion of how to more effectively work with the Forest Service, I was initially humbled by that, because I thought, well, that's great. But I want to first also say that I think the critical thing is to work with everybody in the federal family of the partnership. And right now, that partnership, it strikes me as being a bit uneven. EPA, clearly a dominant force. Department of Interior, certainly important. USDA and the Forest Service, certainly important. But you know, the partnership includes a lot more than that. So what it takes is all of us to try to nudge and work with HUD and nudge and work with the Department of Commerce and the Department of Defense and Education and FEMA. All of those folks are part of the federal family of the partnership, and they all deserve to be a player. So none of us have to overextend ourselves in support of the overall partnership. If we all band together, we all share resources, and we all avoid duplication, then it's going to be the partnership that fulfills the promise that it has. Now, specifically with the Forest Service, we have really great people. I mean, almost all of you probably know Alice Ewan. Alice is spectacular in every way. She's really going to be a strong person to continually to move forward. We're also, our associate chief, Mary Wagner, is a big supporter of Urban Waters Federal Partnership. And so I think at a minimum, constantly working with Alice and Mary. And some of you may say, well, I can't, again, you're going to evoke your, I know what I call the immune system, and you'll say, I really can't reach out directly to Mary Wagner. I'm going to have somebody in EPA do that directly. Whatever way you think is important, make sure that Mary Wagner and Alice Ewan know about the partnership and what you want us to do as a Forest Service to make your lives better as well. Let me go to the department. We have, and these people will change, and you know that. A new administration will come in, and these people will change. But until that time changes, we have Robert Bonney. He's our undersecretary for the Natural Resource and Environment Mission Area. So I always say the three top people that really make the Urban Waters Federal Partnership go in the Forest Service are Robert Bonney, Mary Wagner, and Alice Ewan. And hopefully I've added a little bit along the way, but I'm retiring in December 31. And so it's going to be those three people that are the elixir for our success. So those are the names that I would like to have you remember. One of the things about the partnership is that it sort of was just came on. You know, normally in government programs, you have programs that are developed, they're advanced through the budget process, they're approved by Congress, and candidly, that's what we know best. And candidly, we're more comfortable with that. Urban Waters didn't do that. It basically came on through an announcement that we shall do this, and EPA took the leadership role on that. But as you can imagine, a lot of people in the federal family will say, wait a minute, we're not funded, and it's not been sanctioned appropriately, and it hasn't gone through the bureaucratic process that we normally are used to. And so there was a lot of people that were a little bit nervous about that. And luckily for EPA and I think USDA and I think Department of Interior, especially those three, but there's been others, so I don't want to eliminate anybody. I think we just decided to heck with that. This is a conservation legacy event. Let's do what we can to make this level of public service from the source, the high end of the watershed, all the way to where the sea is. We take care of that water, and we try to make communities more resilient to depend upon that water. And in areas that have been neglected in the past, maybe like West Philadelphia, maybe like parts of the Harlem River, parts of Los Angeles, and I could go on and on, but you get what I mean. Those areas have been neglected. Maybe we could spend just a little bit more time to make sure they're not continually to be neglected. And luckily, we just sort of began making it up as we went. And that's been special, because what that's done is had some real creative notions on how to do that. But at the end of the day, we also have to recognize that resources are the engine for this. So, for example, in the Forest Service, following a lot of the lead that EPA did in the Department of Interior, we tried to get our agency to actually request money for the Urban Waters Federal Partnership on its way to OMB and on its way to Congress. I would really encourage us to continue to do that. So maybe it becomes more of a traditional program as we go forward. But until that becomes that traditional program, we're going to have to constantly seek ways to invent ways of getting things done, to maybe shift resources a little bit, to find other areas where different departments can provide some money. At the end of the year, we all have unobligated balances, for example. Make a case for that. Constantly make connections. I think this is the word that I want you to burn into your mind. Be a pill and make connections. And maybe that ought to be our mantra. Be a pill. A pill means kind of an adjutant, if you will. You know, be that person that makes those connections, and when people see you coming, they say, here's Urban Waters. They're coming. Get ready. And I think if you constantly use your political, local support to try to advance those 19 sites and more that we know can come on, then pretty soon the Urban Waters Federal Partnership is going to be that iconic conservation legacy event across the country. We are on to something. Let me tell you, we are on to something. It's only been 4 years since we've really gotten going. We have a great signator that talks about our mission vision. We have a terrific strategic plan, thanks to people like Roy Simon, I mean, who have done an extraordinary job of making this conservation legacy event materialized like it has. And we have, now we're working on important measures so people like OMB can say, wow, you know, now I know exactly what they're doing. So we use those founding documents, those foundational documents, to keep moving things along. And with your personal passion, I think we can make the water that we drink and the communities that depend upon that much more resilient for the future. And there's nothing like that in terms of really quality public service. So I think in summary for me, it's we're on the right thing. Once in a while in our careers, we fall upon something that is truly, truly making a difference. The Urban Waters Federal Partnership is one of those. It is indeed a conservation legacy event. Make sure you include all the federal family as much as you can. For the Forest Service, it's Alice, it's Mary, and it's Robert Bonney. Those are our key people, and they're very, very supportive of this. And then to keep things going, recognize it's non-traditional, and that causes people to wince a little bit, but use your creative juices to make sure that you band together, share resources, and avoid duplication so we can do good quality public service. And don't underestimate the power of the local people, including local elected officials, but mayors, those local people that make a difference, and because they have friends, and some of those friends are people who decide. And the more we work with people who decide, directly or indirectly, the more this Urban Waters Federal Partnership is going to be this iconic event for the future. So why don't that's how I feel about it. I have a little bit of a time. I want to be respectful of your time, and maybe I could just open it up for a question or two if you'd like to do that.
Well, Michael, thank you so much. I wanted to make sure you knew, we should have said this before, that you're speaking with all of our regional representatives across all of EPS 10 regions, and they've been leading the charge. So I'm sure this is heartening for them to hear how you view this work. Was there anyone who had a question for Michael?
This is Jennifer, Region 7 in Kansas City. First, Michael, if I was sitting in front of you, I would be clapping because that was an extraordinary speech. Thank you very much. My question to you is, a lot of times when I make connections with Urban Waters, the first question from a community member or a community elected official or anyone is, what kind of money do you got? What would be your answer to them in order to explain we don't got a lot, but we got other stuff?
Yeah, I think that's a great question, because the normal traditional way is that we dump money on problems. And so my answer to that always is, well, we have some, and we're going to target it especially, but we can use that to leverage a lot more through our connections. And people like yourself, and I'm really role-playing now, you're talking to that elected official or that important person, people like yourself can help me make that connection so we can draw in more money, because our mantra is banding together, sharing resources, and avoiding duplication. So I can be a person who can provide a small amount of seed money that will get us going, but I'm counting on you to help me make connections to draw some other funds, because we can easily leverage. When I look at some of the Urban Waters, we're really leveraging 6, 7, 8 to 1. And so a small federal investment can go a long way. And now, then I would also say that we are also trying to make our program a little bit more traditional. And that means creating budgets through the more traditional scene. And if we're effective, that's going to mean additional funds that we can do to help leverage a lot more money with you. So those are kind of the answers that I traditionally use, and they tend to work. I mean, because that's exactly what we're doing. Small amounts to leverage, and then try to get larger amounts to leverage more. Okay?
Thank you. Other questions for Michael?
Well, no other questions. You're like my scientist that I work with. I say something, I say, is there any questions? And it's crickets. And I always feel a little funny at that. So, but
Michael, I have one more question for you.
Okay.
I want to pause if anyone else does, in either regions, anyone at headquarters. I guess one of my questions for you is, you have consistently said, ever since you became part of this interagency group, that you feel the Urban Waters Federal Partnership, and we include all of the work that we do at EPA, by the way, on Urban Waters as part of supporting that partnership, but you've often said that it's a legacy conservation event, and you said that again today. Could you tell us why? Because in 48 years, you've done a lot of things. For you to say this is the most exciting work you've done, and that it's a highlight of your career, is a big thing. So why do you say it's a legacy conservation event?
Well, first of all, in the Forest Service, our mission is largely about the slogan, in fact, is called Caring for the Land and Serving People. So when I look at the Urban Waters, I think, what's more important to the people across the planet? Well, good quality water, and having a decent place to thrive, their community resiliency. And those are the two fundamental pieces of Urban Waters. So now, so the mission aspect is fundamentally important and clear. The next thing about it, which is fairly unique, is that instead of fighting against each other and ensuring duplication, what we're trying to do is through good water and through community resiliency, which leads to really good public service, that's what we really want to do, what we're suggesting is, why don't we drop our guards and why don't we drop all the firewalls and let's have people view us as employees of the government that are truly, genuinely, absolutely trying to make their lives better. I'm not from the EPA. I'm not from USDA. I am a public servant to try to make your life better. That's the promise, and that's the foundational element of Urban Waters. And to me, I've never experienced that before. And so when it came along, I thought, we're on to something. And the longer I've been with it, the more I feel that way. My only wish is that we would have the level of resources that we need to be just a little bit more bully pulpitish, if you will. But I think that's going to come because I've watched our Forest Service go from interesting notion to really now we have the associate chief of the Forest Service, number two person that's really backing this, and with her becomes lots of position power. So, you know, it's the mission that's clear and the ability to do good government and to be ultimate public service. And when you add them all together, in my career, I've never experienced it to the level I have had with Urban Waters and the promise that it holds. That's really critical right there, the promise that it holds. And if I was going to be around a little bit longer, I would keep moving in that direction. All I can give you is one plea, and that is when it feels at times like, because it's non-traditional, you have people saying, well, I'm just going to sort of wait this out, and it'll go away too. Don't allow that to happen, because you're on to something. You're on to something great.
Michael, thank you so much. I feel like somebody asked me, is this being recorded? So I hope it is. And I think it'll hearten us for those tough times sometimes that come and give us that strength. So thank you. And I know I'm going to impose upon you to say, I know you're retiring, but you haven't heard the end of us. I'm sure that come the new year, we'll still be calling upon you for advice from time to time. And I trust that you will continue to be passionate even as a retiree.
I will. And I want to thank you all for letting me speak. I'm really honored by the fact that you would take time out of your schedule to ask me to provide a few words. It's really nice, and I won't forget it. So thank you very much.
Thank you, Michael.
Thank you,
Ray.
Michael.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. I'll let you go, and have a few more minutes on your meeting, and I'll stand back and wish you all the very best of luck. Okay.
Thank you.
Bye.
Thank you so much.